Anyway, here we are driving along, so that accounts for some of the background noise, perhaps, if anybody's listening to that. But thank you for taking the opportunity while you're driving to answer these questions. Let's start off with, what attracted you to Island Baptist in the first place?
When we moved to Christchurch, my sisters had been going to Island Baptist for many years, and I used to hear about things. I heard about Nerve to Serve, and I just thought that sounded amazing. I'd heard about, you know, even Women's Retreat, all sorts of things. Alistair Jameson's focus on faith and work over the years, all sorts of things about Island. I used to actually read the Island directory when I was staying with my sisters from Wellington. So I felt like connection with lots of the people, but when we first moved to Christchurch, we wanted to be Anglican. Andrew and I both grew up in Anglican churches, so we went to St. Christopher's for a while. But we just didn't quite connect with people, and there weren't so many children. I think in the end, all the children, Daniel and Sophie, we popped along to Island once or twice, and Daniel and Sophie just loved having so many kids the same age. Andrew and I, in previous churches, always been fairly involved with ministry to children as well, so I guess we could see that there was a need for us at Island, and that was that.
Well, that sounds reasonable. I wonder if you have ever watched a television program called The X Factor Show?
The talent contest.
Talent contest.
Yeah, not consciously, I haven't sat down to watch it, but occasionally I've watched
a snippet
of it on YouTube or something, yeah.
So if you were going to enter that show, what particular talent would you want to show off to everybody?
No musical talent really whatsoever, unlike my siblings and my husband. My only real talent is probably talking, so I'd probably have to... I was quite good at speech and drama at school, so I'd probably recite a poem or something, but, you know, I wouldn't get anywhere.
Have you got a poem that you could recite?
Not off the top of my head, sorry.
No, okay. Perhaps we could learn one for the end of year talent quest.
Possibly.
So there's a guy called Frederick Beckner, and he talks about vocation.
Oh yeah.
And he says vocation is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Mm. What does that look like in your life?
Well, interesting, because I am a person that I have just always loved my job. It's really weird. It's probably quite annoying to a lot of my colleagues, I notice it's perplexing to many of my colleagues actually. But I really, really love working in communication. So I love thinking about information, how it can be made interesting and easy for people. I love helping people understand how their job connects with the bigger picture of the organisation and what it's trying to achieve. I like there's a lot of different aspects of my personality that come into play. So when I'm at work, I often feel that many different parts of the kind of real, genuine me are being stretched. I often lose track of time, get really involved in what I'm doing, generally feel really happy and relaxed, you know. Look at my Fitbit, my pulse is often in the 50s, you know. So I...
Oh, bonus.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a strange thing, but I think I have actually found my calling through my professional work, to be honest.
Why do you think it's so strange?
It doesn't seem to be that way for a lot of people, to be honest. I have met some people, but I would say it's the exception rather than the norm to find it through your professional job. A lot of people I know have things that they're passionate about and they feel deeply about, but it doesn't... I haven't met a huge number of people where it's the course of their daily work.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I feel lucky. I just feel lucky, yeah.
Yeah. Do you practice any particular spiritual disciplines?
Oh, I was thinking about that. That was the one question I was actually thinking about. I remember reading, what was that book, Celebrating Discipline, you know, that...
Richard Foster.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a thing
that was an
20
thing.
Years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, when
25
I was,
years ago.
Yeah, when I was in CU circles. And
30 years ago, maybe.
Oh, honestly. Yep. Oh, I feel ancient. So it's interesting. I really like that book because it gave a broad... Because I'm not an introvert. I'm not one for sitting around on my own thinking more, you know, deep spiritual thoughts at all. But it had quite a broad definition of spiritual discipline. So when I think of things around hospitality, around encouragement, some of those kind of extroverted spiritual disciplines, I think I have a wee bit. And in terms of prayer, I guess the thing that I found has been really helpful for me is that I do think a lot about people, and I do I am thinking about the future and I am thinking about other people, I try to pray for them on the spot. For many years I bike to and from work through Hagley Park, and there's a particular bits in Hagley Park that, that I pray between one point and another point when I can be quite relaxed on my bike. So so yeah, that's yes.
That is very nice, biking through Hagley Park and not having to worry too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any heroes or heroines that you particularly respect?
I feel like I'd like to, actually that's something I'd really like to find, is to actually think of some more people. I'm really impressed by good leadership when I see it, and the person I've been thinking, and I don't tend to have one person like my whole life, I haven't been like, oh my goodness, you know, Nelson Mandela, you know, he does it for me. You know, I haven't had anyone who I've really idolised or really admired or looked up to for many years, but I do have people kind of in the moment. At the moment, I'm reading Harry Potter to Eddie, and as I haven't read Harry Potter since it first came out when I was a young adult, really. And as I'm reading Harry Potter, I'm just thinking about, I'm just really interested in J.K. Rowling now. You know, I'm really admiring, I'm just really seeing how clever it is and how the kind of theology and Christian thought in behind it. I read somewhere a year or two ago that, you know, she actually wrote it as a kind of an apologetic work. It's, you know, kind of inspired by C.S. Lewis and what he did with Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And as I'm rereading it out again out loud to Eddie, I'm really impressed by the thought and what's in behind it. So I guess she's the person at the moment. I've got no idea what her actual life is like, really, but I'm kind of wanting to look more into that because I'm been impressed by her lately.
Cool. The next question was around recommendations and, you know, books, movies, apps, sports. Harry Potter maybe is a recommendation, or
I mean it upsets me that when I in my book club, actually, which is a mixture of probably about half Christian people, some from Island Baptist women, and just random colleagues and friends and neighbours of people in that group. And a lot of, we were talking about Harry Potter, and actually most of the Christian ones hadn't read it and hadn't read it to their children and really had no idea about, you know, about the kind of depth of it and the themes and just the massively positive impact it's had on a lot of young children and teenagers. You know, it's really shaped the thoughts of a generation in some ways, and in a really good way, you know, in a way that we can really tap into and understand, and is really deeply Christian in my view. So yeah, so I do recommend Harry Potter. In terms of apps or websites or whatever, for work actually just this week I've been investigating this thing called Slido. I don't know if any of you have ever
just
heard of
that. Just today I was looking at Slido.
Yeah. And I just thought, this thing is genius, so I'm going to use it in my first meeting in a couple of weeks' time. But Slido is a website, it's got a free option on it where you can basically provides interactive content for meetings, so people can on their phones go onto this website for free and they can actually ask questions anonymously, they can make comments, they can vote in little mini quick polls. It could be really interesting for church, actually. So just interested, I'm always interested in exploring things like that.
I think that's a great idea, Slido at church. We should try that.
Yeah.
What gift do you think you bring to the Island community?
I've really, the last year or two, really, really enjoyed doing intermediates with Andrew, like getting to know a lot of the kids in the church who are 11 and 12. I follow a lot of them on social media. I pray for them when I see things going on in their lives. But I've got no idea whether I've actually got any form of gift whatsoever working with young people, or whether I just, you know, just rock up every Sunday and good luck to them. But I certainly do that, and I've really enjoyed getting to know them all. In terms of gifts, no, I do have a gift of hospitality, but I just have a full-time job and no time, so that's almost like the point of a gift.
You can only do so much, really.
I think I probably have some kind of, I generally see the good in people and situations, and I think maybe something around being encouraging, I like to think. Yeah. Oh, new people, I'm always happy, always keen to talk to new people and look out for them as well. Maybe that's something I can like to contribute more.
Have you ever done a personality quiz, and are you happy to tell us what you know about yourself?
Yeah, what one haven't I done? Actually, there was one on your list I hadn't done, but pretty much the rest of them I've done.
Yeah.
So from when I was young, should we go chronologically?
Well, you tell. Yeah. It's up to you, Anne-Marie.
Okay. So when I was young, I still am, I think, an ENFP when Myers-Briggs was the thing. So that's an extrovert, intuitive, so think about the future possibilities, that's strong in me. I'm a feelingsy person, but not particularly, only just slightly across the line. Getting more cold-blooded as I get older, I reckon. And a P, kind of spontaneous. Sometimes when you read about ENFP, I look at it, I think I'm a bit flaky, but I don't know. Then I heard Alison Daly was an ENFP, and that really encouraged me. She's not, so.
She's not flaky.
No, exactly, so that's good. Yeah, and then after that, I did Enneagram when I was, just before I had the kids, actually, and that was quite helpful for me, too. So on the Enneagram, I am a 3, which is, good at putting across a good image of yourself, so hopefully I'm doing that in the podcast. No, I'm actually not. I'm trying to be real, honest, the real me. I don't know what the summary of the 3 is, but basically I'm a 3 with a 2 wing for the real Enneagram super enthusiasts, which is something to do with being into being successful and something to do with being helpful. So they're the two things about it. And I think that an Enneagram is amazing in terms of how it speaks to your fears, your kind of shadow, darker side. I think certainly I've experienced the most personal growth through thinking about the Enneagram. You know, I was horrified by what it said about me to start with, but it's kind of rung true and it's been, I'd really recommend it. Mm-hmm. And then what other ones are there? Something else?
Well, no, just what you want to tell us.
So,
really.
Yeah, so those two are the main ones.
Yeah.
I think you had a list and I'd done some of the other ones too. Oh, Strength Finder.
Strength Finder,
I did Strength Finder last year, and that was really interesting. Did that with through work, but I know Suze Harris at our church is a coach, and she did it with Andrew. That was really interesting in a just completely different way. Some other aspects of myself and my personality I never thought of came through from Strength Finder. So my strengths on that, I'm a strategic thinker. Which I never knew. I just thought I had these weird psychic powers about how things were going to play out. So, you know, job interviews, I'd previously tried to convince people I could kind of see into the future, but now I know I was just strategic thinking. That's good. I've got this thing called Woo, which is winning others over, being kind of persuasive.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Useful for my job, generally. I'm a communicator, so a bit of a storyteller, which is true. And I've got an interest in a thing called input, which is an interest in learning about new things, new ideas. I guess that's the ENFP coming through a bit. And then my last one, I'm an arranger. I'm good at organising things and changing situations where people's feelings are involved. Okay. So that explained to me why I often end up organising Christmas. I'm not actually... I always thought, why does a P have to, on the Myers-Briggs, have to organise Christmas? But it's actually because I can cope with, like, things falling apart, people suddenly announcing they're vegan, I don't know, that kind of stuff. So,
yes, I can see that would be useful. Yeah. So the Bible tells us that one day there's going to be a new creation and a new earth. What are you most looking forward to when we get there?
When I think about it, I always think it would be awesome to be able to sing better, because I'm a terrible singer, so that's one thing I've always thought, just lightheartedly. I'm also looking forward to seeing my sis. I mean, I really like the sound of the fact that there will be no more tears, no more crying. That's always my whole life, that's always been something I've thought about. No more sickness, no more poverty. As you get older, I think you see the suffering and the pain in the world. The thought of a time when that's not the case is very... Are we turning off to Hanmer here? Not yet, sorry. It's like driving.
We can't edit, so
Sorry. You're on the journey with us. We're not turning off to Hanmer yet, FYI. So that thing about heaven, I'm really looking forward to seeing my grandparents again, my mother's parents. I just dearly loved them as a child. They're a huge influence on me, and I just, the thought of being kind of reconnected with them in the future really appeals to me too.
Yeah. Barbara Brown Taylor's got a question. She says, what's saving your life right now?
Earl Grey tea has been a strong pillar of my life for many, many years. So that has always been... It used to be cycling, biking to and from work was honestly an absolute sanity saver, but I've just had to stop doing that because I now work out in Hornby. So I've lost the thing that has really been keeping me sane. So I've got a vacancy, I've got a gap in my life.
Well, thanks very much, Anne-Marie. We'll see if we can make it to Hamner in time.
Well, here's the turn off.